I am Bob Kellerman, and I am, you saw our president of Crossroads Bible College last night on the simulcast here, President Ware. I'm a vice president of institutional development at Crossroads, and I also chair the biblical counseling department. Crossroads has a main campus in Indy, a campus in Gary, a campus in Fort Wayne. We're a predominantly multi-ethnic, urban-focused ministry of biblical counseling and pastoral ministry. I also am with the Biblical Counseling Coalition. I had been the executive director. In order to take the role with Crossroads, I stepped into a little less time-consuming role as resource director. So I work in both of those areas. We pray for ourselves today as we look at this topic assigned by Rob that's important to us and how Christ matures us into competent biblical counselors. I pray you give me clarity, give our bodies and minds focus. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the title I gave to this is How Christ Matures Us into Competent Biblical Counselors. On the bottom of that cover page, you have the essence of what we want to get at here. According to Romans 15, 14, we become competent biblical counselors by giving and receiving biblical counseling in community. Now, you're in track two, so you've been through at least the 50 hours of lecture-oriented material, and let me tell you, I believe in biblical content. I just gave out several of my books. One gentleman was just talking about, he bought my first book, Soul Physicians. He gets a weightlifting trophy for buying that, 550 pages of theology of biblical counseling. I believe in content. But Steve and Rob and I all agree that as wonderful as content is, that can't be the only way. Charles Ware last night, I think, did a great job of talking about what God uses to shape us into biblical counselors. It's outside even the context of what we're doing here. It's the suffering and the form-fitted trials that God puts us through. Well, I've taught a biblical counseling lab in different settings, churches and seminaries, 75 times now, and I teach them a little bit differently than some. I teach them with this focus that you come in and you not only observe counseling, which is good, you not only do role-play counseling, which can be helpful, but as the title and the purpose suggest, you and I learn to be biblical counselors by giving and receiving biblical counseling community. In other words, the way I teach a lab, we're going to mess with each other's lives. And we're going to put our stuff out there. And we're going to be counseled. Because the best, most effective biblical counselor is first a great counselee. And so we want to talk about that together. We want to try to model that. As I said, it's a little bit difficult to do a lecture about how lecture can never really get you to be a counselor in and of itself. And so with the 4 or 5 days of prep that I had, I went back to my students from 2 weeks ago at Faith Biblical Seminary, 12 of them. I said, could you give me a brief testimonial of how the unique perspective in our lab and our counseling one another made a difference? So I'm hopeful that you'll get a sense from their quotes and their testimonials. Now, that being said, let's be honest, becoming an effective biblical counselor can feel like a maze, knowing where to go next. And let's be honest, and I've counseled now for 3 decades, knowing what to say next, do next, how to relate next in a counseling situation can be like a maze, right? So it can be a little bit difficult. So we need some direction from God's Word. So we want to give you some other signs about what it means to be a competent, equipped biblical counselor. We want to give you a GPS, God's positioning scriptures. It talks about what's the resume of a biblical counselor and how do we get to that point. And before we do that, I just want to have you, just for a moment, to think through this question on the PowerPoint slide. You have it also on page 1 of your notes. Imagine that you're forwarding your resume to the divine counselor. What characteristics would you highlight to demonstrate your qualification to be a biblical counselor? Just lean over to a partner and just ponder this with the partner for a minute or two. What are the qualifications that you think would qualify you and I, the resume points, to become and to be an effective biblical counselor? By the way, you can keep chatting. Shout out nice and loud so I can hear you up here. Just kind of a popcorn word or phrase. What are you going to put on your resume? That you're a competent biblical counselor. Christ. Christ in you. I'm with you. So I can connect with you. Okay, great. Personal failure, kind of what President Ware was talking about last night. Holy Spirit. Walk with God. Life experience. A lot of great stuff. And we could put a lot of things down. And what I want us to think about a little bit is, fortunately, along with all of these, we have in the Scriptures, all over the Scriptures, God's answer. And I believe in Romans 15, 14, in the context that surrounds it, we have a very beautiful and, I think, comprehensive sense of what makes us a biblical counselor. Paul says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves, and let me just stop there. Paul's talking, as we find out in Romans chapter 16, to these small house churches dotting the area around Rome. These were not a mega church like us. And so Paul says, and the NIV captures it very well, I myself, you yourselves. He knows they're like, well, maybe you, that super apostle, maybe you're qualified to be competent to counsel, but not us. Paul says, no, I myself am convinced that you yourselves, and then he goes on to say, are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct or counsel one another. This is a verse from which Jay Adams got the title for his first book on biblical nouthetic counseling, competent to instruct or to counsel one another. I believe this verse in the context, along with many other verses, gives us a four-dimensional model of the resume of a competent biblical counselor. Let's take a look at these just briefly together, because our focus is not so much trying to develop all of these, but think about what approach to training people can help to develop these. Paul says, I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness. So the word character, and many of you, as you shared things, Christ-like and Spirit-filled. Paul says you're full of goodness. And by the way, I have whole chapters in my book where I talk about this little section here. I have whole hours where I talk about character and these other pieces. So we're giving very much a Reader's Digest. But full of goodness. When I think about that, it's one of the nine fruit of the Spirit. And I might have thought, well, he'd say love first. So I started studying this word goodness, the Old Testament word used in the Septuagint that's a parallel, how this is used in the New Testament. It really has the idea of a grace way of relating. It's used of the goodness and mercy of God to those who are undeserving. So when you and I have Christ-like character, it's this Christ-like grace relating that gives mercy to the counselees that come to us in their suffering and their struggles with sin. It's the ability to relate like Christ, to relate with grace. So we have to develop character. I think that's part of what President Ware was highlighting last night. Second C, and by the way, you'll find out quickly if you've read any of my stuff, I'm in therapy for OCD alliteration disorder. Therapy is not going well. And so you're going to get a lot of alliteration here. Content, complete in knowledge. Now, it doesn't mean that we know all things actual and possible. That's only God. The idea is that God's truth is increasingly capturing our heart and our life. And the word that Paul chose for knowledge, gnosis, has the idea of applicational knowledge, not simply content, but content applied to life. And really, it starts with the maturing ability to apply content first to my life. God's truth, God's word applied to my life, is really a prerequisite for applying truth to somebody else's life, which is why I believe to really be trained as a biblical counselor, we have to give and receive biblical counsel. We have to have truth applied to our lives. And then, of course, competent to counsel, competent to instruct. It's really the relational competency now to speak the truth in love. I know the truth. I don't just preach at people. I dialogue, and what I like to use a lot of times, trialogue. It's myself, the counselee, and the divine counselor through God's Word and God's Spirit, and we bring that together. We're not just preaching at people. We are bringing the Word together. We're thinking through how does God's story, God's truth, God's narrative relate to this individual's narrative or story. Competence in bringing truth to another person's life. Character, content, competence. And then, and this is a piece that I think we often miss in this passage. I think it's a piece we often miss many times in our biblical counseling training, community. Paul begins with brothers, he ends with one another, and he surrounds that. If we were to take the time to go back to Romans